Where in the world was Jesus between the cross and his resurrection? In fact, was he even in the world? That's what we're going to talk about on today's very interesting episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and today Bob and Sean are going to tackle a very interesting question that came in from a listener. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome back to the show. We are taking your questions, your Bible questions, theology questions. You can send them to radio@faithalone.org. For example, here is a question from Craig. Where was Jesus and what was he doing between Good Friday and Easter after he died? Well, that's a good question. So he dies on Friday and he rises on Sunday, the Lord's Day. What is Jesus doing in between the time?
Okay, first of all, there's an important thing to keep in mind, and that is he dies on Friday at somewhere around 3 o'clock, and he's put in the grave before sundown on Friday. So within the Jewish system, the new day starts at sundown. We start the new day at midnight.
Right.
They would start the new day at sundown. Mm-hmm. So let's say it was 6 p.m. So he's in the grave for 2 or 3 hours on Friday afternoon, but that counted as day one.
Right.
Because in the Jewish way of looking at a year or a day, any part would count as the whole. Then he's in the grave all the way until sundown on Saturday, which would end Saturday, so 24 hours. And then he rises from the dead sometime before sunup on Sunday. So Sunday would have started from a Jewish perspective on sundown Saturday night, and
right.
It would have ended sundown on Sunday night.
The day starts, from our perspective,
at midnight.
The night before.
Right.
So Saturday starts on Friday night, from our perspective.
Right. And right. From their perspective, it's just 6 hours earlier.
Yeah.
Instead of midnight, it's starting at 6 p.m.
Right.
And so Jesus was in the tomb 2 part days and 1 full day, but that was still 3 days. Now, where was he?
Okay, well, actually, so maybe that's part of the answer. Where was he in terms of his body? His body was in the tomb.
Absolutely.
During that time. So his body's in the tomb, and it's incorrupt, and it's wrapped up, and the linen's wrapped up
right.
in linens. But now, where's Jesus' soul or spirit?
Okay. His spirit and soul would have been in Sheol, which is also, Sheol's the Hebrew word, Hades is the Greek word,
mm-hmm.
and it was the place of the dead. When anyone died, believer or unbeliever, they went to this place. And we know that, for example, remember in Luke 16, 19 through 31, the rich man and Lazarus? Some
right.
people call it a parable. I don't think it is, but whether it is or whether it isn't, Jesus teaches that where Abraham was the good place, and Lazarus is reclining at Abraham's bosom, and the rich man is in the bad part of Sheol.
So basically the underworld, the realm of the dead, at this time, this is before the
Jesus
resurrection.
Before Jesus ascended, yeah.
Yeah, at this time, there's the air-conditioned good part,
right.
the paradise part.
That's where Jesus was, and that's where
Abraham
the thief
is.
On the cross
yeah.
was, too.
Right, because he said to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise.
Right, and paradise was the good part of Hades.
Right.
In other words, it wasn't like the unsaved dead were there, but the saved dead were in the third heaven. No.
Right, no, at that time.
All of them were there.
So the saved dead, they're in Abraham's bosom. They're in the good part of Hades. And the unsaved, the unbelievers, they're in the torment part.
Right.
According to that story of the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man, he's experiencing flames and he's being tormented.
Right.
And there's a gulf that separates the good and the bad sides.
Now, I discuss this in my book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible. And in my chapter on hell, I suggest that the underworld is literally under the world.
Mm.
In other words, I think Hades Sheol is in the center of the earth.
So not a different dimension, but actually, if you dig far enough, you'll get to it?
Well, except that you wouldn't see anything because these are going to be incorporeal. That is not bodily. So you're not going to see physical bodies, even though they have some sort of intermediate body.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, a physical body couldn't survive at temperatures like the surface of the sun. Mm. The center of the earth is molten metal. But there's going to be a place there where somehow their spirits are,
mm.
and the ones in the flames are going to be in heat. Now, it's not literally going to be the heat of the molten metal. It's going to be some sort of very tormenting sort of environment, and we don't know exactly what that is, but I would take it is the underworld. And by the way, everywhere in Scripture, when a person dies, they go down.
Right.
Remember when the rebellion of the sons of Korah, the earth opens up and swallows them alive into Sheol?
Right.
Well, they go right down into the center of the earth. So I would say that's where it was. But where was Jesus? He was in Hades, Sheol, and he was there for that 3 days. Then when he rose from the dead, all of the saved dead in the good part of Sheol, they were still there.
Right.
The thief on the cross was still there. Lazarus was still there. Abraham was still there. It wasn't until 40 days later when Jesus ascended to heaven that they all ascended with him.
Okay.
And ever since then, when a believer dies, they go to be in the presence of the Lord, the third heaven.
Yeah.
When an unbeliever dies, he or she goes to Sheol.
All right.
So now there's no good part of Sheol anymore.
Right, so there was a change after the ascension.
Right.
So now this kind of puts a twist on the traditional view. The traditional view is that Jesus descended into hell. I mean, it's in the confessions.
Right.
But it's like he preached towards, I think maybe a lot of people think of him as preaching to the unsaved dead during that time.
Some people see that because of 1 Peter 3 and also 2 Peter talks about this. And I think what that's talking about is the Lord preaching through Noah to those who are now in prison.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't in prison when Noah preached because there is no second chance to be born again after you're dead.
Mm.
And so Jesus wasn't giving people some second chance.
So what is Jesus doing then?
Well, we're not told, but my guess is he's rejoicing with the people who are believers for those 3 days.
For us then today, when someone dies, our bodies will go into a physical grave, and then our spirits now, if you're an unbeliever, you'll go to Hades,
right,
the bad place. But if you're a believer, paradise is now in the third heaven, and so your spirit goes directly there to be with the Lord.
Right. We know that from several things. This is also in my book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words. I have a chapter on heaven. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, I know a man, talking about himself, who was caught up into the third heaven, the very paradise of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so the third heaven right now is paradise. Now, paradise, once Jesus comes back to the millennial earth and then the new earth, that's where paradise will be. Paradise appears to be where Jesus is. Remember, Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord,
right,
in Philippians. So right now, if a person dies, they go to the third heaven and they're in the presence of the Lord. Mm-hmm. But remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when the end of the age comes, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive will be caught up and meet the Lord and all of the saints who have previously died in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to come with Jesus and with all the saints to earth at the end of Armageddon. And we'll be with him during the millennium and then on to the new earth.
Well, I hope that answers that question. Very interesting. If you want to read more, then pick up a copy of Bob's book, 10 Most Misunderstood Words. You can find that at our bookstore. Here's a question from Brian, and his question is about believe. That's a big theme for us. It's a big theme in the Bible. But believe, sometimes there's slight differences in how the New Testament describes our belief. This is his basic question here. He says, is believing in Jesus and believing that he's the Christ the same as believing Jesus?
Okay.
Do the prepositions make a difference?
Okay, theologians, bear with me if you're not familiar with Greek, but this isn't that complicated. To believe in Jesus in Greek is pistuo eis. Pistuo eis means to believe in, and you find that in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, pistuo eis, should not perish but have everlasting life. And you see it all through John 5:24, John 6:47, John 11:25 and 26, pistuo eis. But to believe that is pistuo hati in Greek. Basically, pistuo hati is to believe some proposition. And in John 11:27, Martha has been asked, do you believe this? Pistuo eis, do you believe that he who lives and believes in me shall never die? And her answer is, yes, Lord, I believe that, pistuo hati, you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world.
Mm.
So to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, is the same as believing in him for everlasting life.
Right.
And I bring this out in a new book I'm working on, 100 Faith Alone Verses in the Bible, that John 11, 25, 26, and 27 all bring out that believing in him results in everlasting life, and also believing that he is the Christ, the Son of God, is the same thing. I believe that he is the one who guarantees my eternal destiny. And you also see that in John 20, 31. These signs I have written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God.
Right.
Believing that, pistuo hadi, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Right. I mean, so basically believing always has content.
Right.
But sometimes our language doesn't always make that clear. And I can see some people saying, well, if you believe in him, somehow they interpret that to be some type of existential encounter. It's like you're believing into him like water is being poured into a jug or something like that. But it's really just shorthand for saying you're just believing this information about him. You're believing what he's just said about himself.
Exactly. And what you've just said about this existential encounter, that's what many people actually say saving faith is. They say it's an encounter with Jesus.
Right.
That it's really not propositional at all. It's not believing any facts. It's just you're having some sort of experience. You have a feeling. The problem with all that is it's totally contrary to the Word of God.
Right.
The Word of God says we're believing in Jesus for eternal life. 1 Timothy 1:16, Paul says, I'm a pattern of those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. And the questioner asked, is believing in and believing that the same as believing Jesus? Yes. What I'm believing Jesus for is everlasting life, because that's what he promises. In fact, in several places in the New Testament, this is called the promise of life. Jesus is promising everlasting life to the one who believes in him.
Well, thanks for that explanation. I hope that clears things up a little bit for Brian. If it doesn't, well, send us another question at radio@faithalone.org on any topic of the Bible or theology. We love hearing from you guys, and we love being able to serve you in this way. So keep on listening.
Thanks.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to tackle the question, what's the difference between once saved, always saved, and perseverance of the saints? I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.